Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, bad boss number one, angry and demeaning bosses. We wish we didn't have to do casts like this, but angry and demeaning bosses are a fact of life, unfortunately. And for most of us, it doesn't matter how great a boss we might be if we're working for someone who is angry, demeaning, and generally unprofessional. Today, we're going to start our series of casts on handling this particular type of boss. Here we go. I wish we didn't have to do casts like this, but unfortunately, angry and demeaning bosses are a unpleasant fact of life. And for most of us, it doesn't matter how great a boss we are, if we are a boss, if we work for someone who is angry or demeaning and what we think of as kind of generally unprofessional. So despite our recommendations to focus on your team if you're a manager, because of what that's where the leverage is, our bosses still exist.
Yeah.
And if she's a jerk, we've got to adapt.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that today.
This is the first cast in a series of casts we're going to do about bad bosses. The first bad boss we're going to cover is the angry and demeaning bad boss, because that's the one that seems to scare the most people most often. Our cast is very simple, although there's a lot of detail and it's long. First, we're going to go over some bad boss basics and actually really some boss basics. So just to remind folks, because of course, Manager Tools focus on our directs. Career Tools focus on our entire career, but we have some recommendations that generally stand the test of time. We want to do that. We're going to talk in detail about what we mean by an angry and demeaning boss, although probably people can jump to pretty accurate conclusions. But for instance, we'll also do casts on inefficient bosses or uncommunicative bosses later, and we don't want to lump all bad bosses into the angry and demeaning category. Then we're going to go through the basics of the cast, and this cast really has three key parts, our three key recommendations. Our premise is the way you handle an angry boss is you cope. That means you give yourself some space and time, and you keep yourself cool. You don't do anything rash. And then secondly, you have to perform, because angry bosses will use low performance against us. And then lastly, having given yourself some space and time, we need to decide what we're going to do about our careers. So three key points: cope and how to do that, specific steps on how to do that, perform, how to perform for an angry boss, some things we recommend, and then lastly, how to decide. And we've got a recommended question that quite frankly applies to all future bosses or all bosses that you might be working for, but it's especially important with an angry boss. And so we'll share that. We'll reveal that later on in the cast.
So let's talk a little bit about a bad boss basics. It's sad that we got to have a basics paragraph about bad bosses, but there are all different kinds of bad bosses, right? I mean, you mentioned there's angry bosses, there's inefficient bosses, there's uncommunicative bosses.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, in hindsight, uncommunicative could probably have come second. There are plenty of angry bosses that are uncommunicative as well, although anger has its own special needs around it. But if you ask me the two types of bad bosses that most people get or that they're frustrated about, I think the most common one is uncommunicative.
I'd agree.
But the one that scares people the most is angry. So,
yeah, and unfortunately, that's the issue we're going to get into a little bit, which is angry bosses create all sorts of emotion around the issue, and it's the emotions that can get you into a lot of trouble.
Right.
So each of these bosses have their own issues, and you know, uncommunicative bosses, for example, require us to create relationships with others such that we can stay informed. If our bosses are not going to tell us, then we sure as heck need to have relationships with others so we can feel ourselves in. Creating new relationships to cope with an angry and demeaning boss, frankly, can be dangerous. So we do need to talk about bosses, bad bosses based upon kind of the type.
And right.
So today, I think we've already said we're going to focus on the angry and demeaning boss. So all that said, there are a couple of basics that are always true and that inform our guidance here at Career Tools when it comes to bosses.
Yeah. The first one is, we don't manage our boss. Manager Tools has a cast, and I'm sure it's in the Career Tools feed about managing our boss and boss relationships, if you will. These casts will become part of that, as well as standing on their own in terms of the Bad Boss series, I guess. But really, you know, we joked about managing our bosses. Joking about it or calling, telling someone that here's how you manage your boss was perhaps one of those small regrets that we have. Because for those of you who listened to that cast or been with us for a long time know, the thrust of that cast was we don't ever manage our bosses. Ever.
Yeah, and if you're listening, you're not that one exception.
Yeah, that's right. If you're listening, you're not the one exception. You're not so clever that you're managing your boss and your boss doesn't know it. We fundamentally disagree with the concept of managing one's boss. Look, there's more leverage in doing our jobs, which is if we're a manager managing our directs. We find that too many managers who talk about managing their bosses, when we really dig into what they're doing is they're thinking about their careers first. They're politicking and they're making sure and they're avoiding things and perhaps at times misleading or obfuscating in order to keep the boss at arm's length. And finally, the thing that always, to me, makes mincemeat, if you will, out of the idea of managing our bosses is that most of us scoff, would just laugh at the idea of our directs managing us. So what makes us think that we're the one person who can successfully manage our boss without them knowing it?
Yeah. And for those of you who are not managers, who haven't managed before, it's quite amazing how there's this idea that somehow my boss does this to me and I'm going to react this way, but my directs are somehow going to react differently to me.
Yes.
It doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. And that's one of the things that we really enjoy about the cast is that they support one another. The fundamental principles that we're talking about don't change just because someone's role changes. So now look, just to be clear, as a bit of refresher in the Managing Your Boss cast, we suggested you needed to know your boss's goals. You need to know his communication style. We need to know how she schedules her time, what her work style is, and what relationships he sees as being particularly important. Okay, so that was that cast. That's not managing your boss, of course. That's just trying to have a good relationship with somebody who has power over you. But this cast is not about managing your boss. It's about the behaviors we have to engage in when we work for a particular type of bad boss. In this case, an angry and demeaning one.
Good. Now, our kind of second general point there is, and this has got to be our first rule of career management, which is you can't allow anyone to dictate the speed of a career decision.
Except in the event that somebody's made you an offer, right? And there's a deadline.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, that's out of your control. But if you're working for a bad boss, the only person that controls your career decision, except in the rare case where actually you get fired, we'll talk about that later, is you. And you can't allow the behavior of your boss to dictate the speed of career decisions. You have to maintain control of that.
Exactly. If we're not careful, particularly with the bad boss, the angry boss, the impetuous boss, we may be forced to make a quick career decision if we don't manage the relationship well. Look, we may not be able to manage our boss, but we can do some simple things, depending on the type of boss we work for, that reduces our risk of being forced to make a quick career decision, or even worse, not forced to make a quick career decision, but rather making one rashly and saying, you know what, enough, I quit, I'm out of here.
I tell you what, my experience has been that those decisions, those career decisions particularly, that are made in haste are usually the worst career decisions we've ever made. I know that's true for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you say, the Career Tools first rule of career management, allow no one to dictate the speed of one of our career decisions. And what that means is with a bad boss, we've got to keep that in mind because bad bosses tend to increase the chances that people do that. And we don't want you doing that. You can do things that will allow you to give you time, to give you space, to give you thinking space so that you can make a good decision. And sometimes a good decision is to stay with a bad, angry, demeaning boss. It's true. And we've got to know how to think about that. But first, we've got to have time and space to do it. And that's what this cast is about.
Good. Why are we starting with this particular type of bad boss, because there's lots of them. We've already said probably that the uncommunicative boss is probably the most prevalent, right? The one that really probably creates the most pain for folks.
Yeah.
Yet we're starting with the angry boss. Why are we doing that?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's pretty simple. They get the most press. You know, I think Fortune magazine a few years ago ran, you know, the worst bosses in America, and they were angry and demeaning. Right. No one actually said uncommunicative bosses were the worst bosses in America, because if that was the case, there wouldn't be any good bosses. I'm kidding. When people talk about bad bosses, there's an assumption that we're talking about angry and demeaning, because people don't like others having power over them, significant power to control their addiction to food, clothing, and shelter. And they don't like anger and power mixed in together. I do think that uncommunicative is the far bigger problem. And that's, I think, a function because management is messed up and people look up rather than down. And if you start looking down, not figuratively, but on an org chart, if you start thinking about your directs, if you start leading as a servant leader, then suddenly the uncommunicative problem goes away. But yeah, we start with this one because he or she is the one that gets the most press.
I think it's also more than that because, you know, bosses have power. And we know you said it many times, they control our addiction to food, shelter, and clothing. And anger, emotion, high emotion causes people to make rash decisions. And when we have somebody who has that much power over us, our boss, and they're emotional and they're angry, we fear they're going to make some rash decisions. And that is something that worries, you know, frankly, even the best of us, even those of us who have the most emotional control.
Yeah.
You know, having a rash person, an angry, rash boss with control over us is a scary thought.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do this though. Let's talk about behaviors. What might we see in here? Because we want to be very specific about this type of boss. You know, the angry and bad boss, if you're wondering, do I work for an angry or a bad boss? You're probably going to see yelling. Not always, but probably going to see yelling. I have known a few angry bosses who never yelled, but just had this tone in their voice without even looking at somebody that was just intended to cut someone to the quick. But generally, you're going to see yelling. You're going to see him raising his voice when he's giving orders. And we don't believe that raising one's voice is a professional behavior. And since management is a professional undertaking, we think yelling and raising your voice makes you unprofessional, behaving unprofessionally. My personal favorite, the thing that I hear a lot about from people in the field, is rather than addressing your behavior or your work product, they attack you personally. They call you names. Clearly, they characterize your work pejoratively, but they go beyond the work and say you're stupid or you're lazy or you're rotten or crap or worse. And we're going to talk more about the subtleties involved there in terms of how they characterize us when they do this. When an angry boss demeans you, she does it in front of others, which is a particularly egregious form of unprofessionalism, right? She threatens to fire you. A lot of bosses get angry, but angry bad bosses threaten to fire you. And frankly, often threaten to fire you a lot. And frankly, as well, most of us are too scared by that threat, and we get so discombobulated by that threat, and my God, I can't believe this person would say that out loud, that we don't realize that the first time he doesn't follow through ought to tell us something in light of how big a threat that is. If he doesn't follow through, it ought to tell us something about how much he really means all this other stuff he's been saying all along anyway.
Right. So what we're talking about today are about managers who others might call abusive, but we're going to focus on, as we always do, we're going to focus on behavior. So we felt it useful to kind of talk about what behaviors one would see versus the fact that you might characterize that as being abusive.
Yeah. And frankly, well, again, you know, we've talked about this before in mini casts and at conferences. We do a lot of it at the Effective Communications Conference, which is, characterizations are inherently dangerous. Calling a boss abusive, and all of us agreeing that that's what we're going to talk about, is, you know, a quiet and reserved person who works for an energetic, loud person might think that loudness is abusive because we characterize things differently. So we'll try to focus on specific behaviors because, again, characterizations are inherently difficult to agree upon across different types of behavioral styles and communication styles.
Yeah. And to be clear here, we're not talking about a bad boss as someone who holds you accountable for deliverables, who is demanding of your time and energy. Those aren't characteristics of, quote unquote, a bad boss.
Yeah. In fact, I think, weren't we talking last night, and we, one of the things that we have to be careful of is there are a lot of people think they work for an, they might think they work for an angry boss because the boss says, okay, you said you'd have it by Wednesday noon. It's Wednesday noon. Where is it? And they say, ooh, this guy's angry. He's demeaning. That's not angry and demeaning. That's holding you accountable. And if your boss holds you accountable and does not raise her voice and does not attack you personally and does not threaten to fire you and is fairly dispassionate about describing her disappointment with your failure to meet a goal that you set or that he or she feels like is reasonable, then they're just professionally demanding. But demanding and demeaning are two different things. And so we want to be clear that if you work for me, you're gonna discover I'm demanding. I'm a pussycat sometimes, but I'm demanding. But I'm never going to be angry or demeaning.
There you go. Good. I'd hate for folks to use what we're going to get into next to somehow deal with a demanding,
yes,
not demeaning boss.
Right.
Yeah. that would be a mistake. So, okay. So let's talk about, now we've talked about kind of the types of bad managers out there, the fact that we're going to focus on angry or demeaning managers. What are our fundamental premises around how to deal with these kind of folks?
Yeah. We mentioned it, of course, in the outline. Three things we've got to do. The first thing we've got to do is cope. Okay. Then we've got to perform. And then we've given ourselves space and time to decide. We've got to step back from our own anger and frustration. It's not, look, folks, it's not wrong or bad to get angry or to feel fearful. There are only two fundamental human emotions, love and fear. All other emotions spring from those. Anger comes from fear, believe it or not, or put it simply, it certainly doesn't come from love. And if you're fearful, it's normal for you to be angry back at your bad boss. And if I don't know that it's in this cast, but I want to repeat something that's very important, that the news media and lawyers and company HR people and managers continue to not make this distinction. And it's enormously frustrating for me. I'm going to say it again I've said it 20 times, but it may be one of those things that I've never said on air, which is this. It is completely okay to be angry at work. It's fine. It's just not okay to express anger. You're a human being. You are issued a set of emotions at birth. Those emotions are you might as well be dragging a little wet rag around with you. And some of them are terribly useful and wonderful, and some of them are horrible. Anger, it can be wonderfully useful. Can be a motivator, and perhaps an angry boss would say that's what I'm doing. Of course, we just think that that's fine somewhere else, but not in a position of power over people's addiction to food, clothing, and shelter. But when you get angry at your boss, it's okay. It's simply not okay, nor is it effective, nor is it smart, nor is it good career management policy to express your anger. Okay, so you're going to get anger. And what this cast is about, at least in part, is stepping back from your anger without expressing it so that you can cope for a while to not only keep your job, but to make a good career decision. Okay? So we've got to cope. Then what we've got to do is we've got to perform. Because if we get cashiered, if we get fired, we either want to be able to defend ourselves internally if the angry boss fires us on a whim, or, of course, much more likely, be able to have a resume that says you got results, whether you got fired or not. Right? When I got fired, I looked at my resume and said, wow, it looks pretty good. Apparently, they made a mistake. You know, as the movie character once said, we don't want to be so busy keeping our jobs that we forget to do our jobs. And so that's why we've got a part of this cast about performing. And there's specific things we need to know in terms of performing for an angry boss. And then finally, what we've got to do is we've got to decide what our career choice is going to be. Are we going to stay? You know, we've been developing some solid coping skills. Maybe this is a career enhancing move, staying. Or are we going to leave because simply we don't want this job? And can we do so? Can we leave in our own time on our own terms? And then, as I alluded to before, do we know what crucial question to ask regarding that decision about stay or go? And the hint I have for everybody is this is a question you can ask before you ever come to work for an angry boss. And frankly, we ought to ask it of every person that we're considering going to work for if we know who our boss is going to be. So cope first, space and time. Perform, which is yet again more space and time and works whether you're staying or going. And then lastly, decide.
All right, folks, we'll stop there and continue this on next week. If you haven't been to discussion forums, please join us. www.managertools.com/forums. Hope to see you there. So long, folks.